Amen. Do you believe that? Do you believe Christ lives today? Amen. Is he living in you? Amen. Praise the Lord. Please remain standing as we read God's word together. Some of those other words, I don't know about those. The pride and joy is like, oh well. But I like the chorus. We can't face tomorrow, can we? Because the future belongs to the Lord. It's in his hands. Colossians chapter 3, all the way to chapter 4, verse 1. I can't help but have to read the whole chapter to you because it's all connected, isn't it? I mean, I could read the whole book to you, but this is talking about the new life in Christ. We're a new creation, aren't we? And because we're a new creation, we have to keep our mind on things above. And what you dwell on really is going to affect your emotions. It's going to affect everything about you. That's why, beloved, we dwell on God's truth. We dwell on God's promises. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 says, therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on the things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden in Christ, with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Praise God. Therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. For it is because of these things that the wrath of God will come upon the sons of disobedience. And in them you also once walked when you were living in them. But now you also put them all aside. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive speech from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self, well, with its evil practices, and have put on the new self, who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. A renewal in which there is no distinction between Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave and free, but Christ is all and in all. So as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against another one, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Beyond all these things, put on love, which is a perfect bond of unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Wives, be subject to your husbands, as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be embittered against them. Children, be obedient to your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Fathers, do not exasperate your children so that they will not lose heart. Slaves, in all things, obey those who are your masters on earth, not with external service as those who merely please men, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. Whatever you do, do your work heartily as for the Lord rather than for man. For men, knowing that from the Lord you'll receive the reward of the inheritance. It is the Lord Christ whom you serve. For he who does wrong will receive the consequences of the wrong which he has done, and that with all partiality. Masters, grant to your slaves justice and fairness, knowing that you too have a master in heaven. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, we thank you so much for your word that reminds us of how we are to live a new life, how we are to live a life that is pleasing and honoring to you. Father, I pray and I ask with all my heart that you would help us, that we would want to honor you, that we would want to be a blessing to you, that we would live our lives in a way that is faithful and pleases you in every way. beginning with our thoughts and our words and our actions. Help us, Lord, for we fall short every single day. I ask now for your grace, Lord, as we look into your word, that you would speak through me, dear Father. I pray that I may be your messenger. And Father, if there is one soul here that is not redeemed, oh God, I pray for salvation for that individual. We ask now for your grace in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. So this morning we're looking at Colossians chapter 21 to chapter 4, verse 1. And I entitled this, Dealing with Authority. Now, as you know, Paul mentions slaves and he mentions masters. And the time that Paul, even the Lord Jesus Christ, was walking the earth, it was believed that up to half of the Roman world were slaves. Many of them were slaves because they were conquered. Others, they would put themselves under a master because that was one way to make a living. And so we have to understand that was a way of life back then. And instead of going against the culture or society, rather Paul talked about honoring God in every circumstance and situation you find yourself, to honor God. And so this is what Paul is calling them to do. How to live a new life, whether you're free or a master or a slave, how you and I can honor God. And here, very specifically, is how to deal with authority. How do we deal with authority? Well, first of all, we're to submit to it because all authority has been given by God. You might say, well, Pastor, what if they're corrupt? Guess what? Even the corrupt authority has been given by God. And we have to submit, not in an absolute sense, of course, to the point that it doesn't conflict with the Word of God. God is our final authority, isn't He? The Word of God is our final authority. And when we have an authority that contradicts the Word of God, we have to obey God rather than man. But I want you to understand this. Be ready to pay the consequences. You understand that? It's easier said, isn't it? But then when your life becomes in jeopardy or you are now put in the place where you can be incarcerated, suddenly it's like, whoa, that happens. It happened with the pastor James Coates in Canada, didn't it? It's going to happen. And so you and I have to be ready for that. So this morning I want us to look at Colossians chapter 3, starting in verse 21. We want to finish up with the daddies, right? We had Father's Day last week. And now we want to finish up here in Colossians chapter 3, verse 21 through 4, 1. And all of these things have to do with authority and submission. And let me tell you something. Did you know that it's when it comes to the sinful nature of man that they hate, they reject authority? If you're the type of person that can't stand authority, you have a problem, friend. You have to understand all authority has been given by God. So you have to have this willing spirit. Doesn't mean we can't have discussions, but we have to understand that all authority has been given by God. And it begins in the home, doesn't it? The husband is the head of the home. The husband and father. And when there's a problem with submission and authority there, then there's a bigger problem here. Where the individuals, the children, or the wives need to check their heart to see whether they're truly obeying God. Because to submit to authority is to submit to God. That's a bigger problem than just saying, well, you know what, I don't respect them. Doesn't give us a condition here, beloved. Just like it doesn't give a condition to husband to love your wives only if she's a good girl. Doesn't have that condition. I had a man tell me that. Well, you know what? You know, my wife does this and this. And I said, last time I checked, let's look at this verse again. Last time I checked, friend, there's no condition to this. It's an absolute command. Love your wives, right? Women, subject yourself to your husbands. And you might say, well, you don't know my husband. No, I don't, but I know the Word of God. The Word of God doesn't give you a condition. So we have to do it by faith, don't we? Do it by faith. Is it easy? No way. It goes against the flesh. And so we see here the third verse that we covered last time was children, obey your parents in all things. And of course, the question is, what if I disagree? That's a condition. There's no condition here. Now, if it goes against the word of God, then of course, you have to obey God. But here, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Submission. Ask yourself, am I a submissive person? And if you're not, I think there's a problem with serious pride. And pride is self-love. It's called vainglory. Be careful. Just look at these verses together. And papas are going to pick on you now. Fathers, do not exasperate your children so that they will not lose heart. And we find here then that the fathers, they need to lead by example. How do we exasperate our children? When things seem to be unfair? When you don't listen to your children? When you don't lead by example? Fathers, if we lead by example in our godliness, in kindness, in compassion, in forgiveness, in love, in righteousness, in humility and patience, you know what's going to happen? It's going to help the children. We need to lead by example. And so when it comes to our children, we want to love them. We want to nurture them. But we also want an example to be an example so they can follow us. Here's the problem. When mothers and fathers say, do what I say and not what I do. No, that's a problem. That's a problem. So mom and dad, if you're doing things you shouldn't be doing, and you're telling the kids, hey, you know what? Do what I say, not what I do. There's a problem. There's going to be disrespect there. And so, parents, we have to understand, we got to lead by example in our love, in our compassion. We have to be the first ones to forgive. And we have to be the first ones to ask for forgiveness. Do parents sin against their children? Yeah, they do. So, you know, we always got these kids. One of them is a squeaky wheel, right? And Selena, I had to pick on her because she's not here. But she's very quick to say if I did something wrong, she'll say, Daddy, you hurt my feelings or something, you know? Especially when she's a little girl. And I go, Mija, I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? Oh, kids, they're so loving. They'll forgive. I mean, it's such a simple thing. I mean, think about it. I mean, those words are so important, even to a husband and a wife. But you know what? Pride does not seek forgiveness. Pride will not ask for forgiveness. And that's just your own ego. When you sin against somebody, you need to go and ask for forgiveness. Get things right. Even children. And so, Father, we need to lead by example. Do you realize that we are the ones that represent God to our children? Kids, they're just little infants, right? When they start off, they don't know anything about authority. The authority they know and grow up with is you. Mom and Dad, you represent Almighty God to your children. And what is that representation? So we represent God to our children. We represent His authority. Guess what else? We should be representing His holiness and righteousness. So we want to be an example so kids can have this healthy love and respect. You know why? Because it transfers over to the Lord. It even transfers over to authority. You ever hear about those people who can't stand authority when it comes to the police and they fight authority? You know where that is taught? In the home. In the home. When you have a person that does not respect authority, begins to fight the authority, that little boy has not been spanked the way he should have been spanked. That little boy does not have any fear of authority. When you have these little kids cursing and fighting, that little boy should have been taken as a little child and dealt with. But they grew up. Little monsters become big monsters. And so we believe here in this church, the Word of God, that we believe in corporal punishment. You're not to spare the rod. When it comes to children, no is a bad word. When my children were growing up, you don't say no to mom and daddy. It's always yes, right? No spanking. And we believe in first-time obedience. I talk to you, you go and do it. I talk to you again, you're disciplined. First-time obedience, not, son, keep do this. Son, will you listen to me? That doesn't happen. It's like, son, do this. What did I tell you? That's right. And so it's important that we have discipline in our home and authority. At the same time, we should love them. What I loved about my son is I would spank him, and he remembers the spanking. Right after I spanked him, he'll come up to me like nothing ever happened. And he'll talk to me like things are great, and they are. I just thought that was amazing to me. I would spank him, and I expect him to be upset with me or anything. No, he'd come up to me and talk to me like, wow. Now, I didn't do that with my dad. I was like... So, I think my kids knew I loved them, and I think they know I love them. But, beloved, we have to lead by example. And you know what else? Sound instruction, which is the Word of God. Kids can see with their parents if they're sincere in their faith. They can see if you're sincere with your love. They can see that. Or they'll see the lack of. What does the Bible say? We're going to plant ourselves in Proverbs. Go with me there. You guys know Proverbs. Now, there's no such thing as a perfect parent, but I hope that you will have a sincere heart and a pure heart, sincere faith, sincere love. Look at Proverbs 3, verses 1 through 8. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. My son, do not forget my teaching. Let your heart keep my commandments. What's going to happen when kids obey? Length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. Do not let kindness and truth leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart so you will find favor and good repute in the sight of God and man. This is a father talking to his son. Famous verse, my dad's favorite verse. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your body and refreshment to your bones. And so we see here then that here is Solomon in his writing that if you would listen, as he's talking to his son and you have daughters, if you listen, you know what? You're going to be blessed. Listen to the parents that you have. And if you're a parent, give sound advice, but also make sure that you're an example. Very important. Proverbs 1, go back one chapter, two chapters, verse 8. You see the very beginning where Solomon says, hear my son, your father's instruction, do not forsake your mother's teaching. You know, parents lived a little longer than you have, and they have a little more experience, and we need to listen. One of the things I do if I ever get into a new job, when I used to work different jobs, I had so many jobs, sweeping floors, doing all kinds of things. One of the things I would do is I'd go to the man that's worked there a long time and begin to ask him questions on how to do the job. It just makes life easier, doesn't it? And so it's the same thing with the parents. And God gave you those parents. Hear, my son, your father's instruction. Do not forsake your mother's teaching. Indeed, they are a graceful wreath on your head and ornaments about your neck. My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. If they say, come with us, let us lie and wait for blood. Let us ambush the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them alive like Sheol, even whole as those who go down to the pit. We will find all kinds of precious wealth. We will fill our houses with spoil. This is bad company, isn't it? Throw in your lot with us. We shall have one purse. My son, do not walk in the way with them. Keep your feet from their path, for their feet run to evil, and they hasten to shed blood. These are wicked, godless people. And they're going to be wicked, godless people in the neighborhood, in your child's school, if you're going to public school. And so we see here then, we warn our kids. Be careful with the friends that you make. Go with me now to Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs says a lot about children, doesn't it? Proverbs 6, look at verse 20 through 24. Once again, my son, observe the commandment of your father and do not forsake the teaching of your mother. Listen to your parents. I think when you listen to your parents, there is safety. There is safety. Bind them continually on your heart. Verse 21, tie them around your neck. When you walk about, they will guide you. When you sleep, they will watch over you. When you wake, they will talk to you. For the commandment is a lamp and the teaching a light. And reproofs for discipline are the way of life. And it goes on to talk about to the young man to keep you from the evil woman. Or for the young lady to keep you from the evil man. Right? So when your parents speak to you, I don't think they're trying to harm you, but many times pride will get in the way. And so if you listen, it's going to protect you. Go with me to Proverbs 19. I told you we're going to do a lot in Proverbs here. Proverbs 19. What does it say there? Verse 18. It says, discipline your son while there is hope. You know, there's a certain time where the spanking is not going to help anymore. Right? I think the last time I got spanking was probably like 8 years old. I think when we moved to Vegas, I was already 10. I was like, yeah, I'm going to obey. I got the connection when to do bad. My britches began to get on fire if I did bad. So there was a connection. And how much more if your children know the Lord? If your children know the Lord at a young age, you have the Holy Spirit of God living in them and convicting them. And then you have mom and dad disciplining them. And you know what's going to happen? It's going to help that child. It's going to help that child. You know, conviction on the inside and discipline on the outside. Those things are so vital. I can tell you this, but usually when kids reach about 10 years old, that the cement is dry, isn't it? The cement is dry. What happens when the cement dries? How are you going to redo it? You got to break it up. And so you got to understand that you got to discipline while there is time, when they're young, when they're impressionable. They need to see that you love, that you care for them, that you're willing to sacrifice for them. And so it says here that we are to discipline them. Verse 18, discipline your son while there is hope. Do not desire his death. Because what happens is they grow up and older, they if they're not disciplined, causes issues. And so we see here then that we have to deal with them while they're young. Let them learn to fear the Lord. See, that fear of mom and dad, and one of the things I wanted for my kids, I wanted, number one, of course, I want them to love me. And when I would tell them to do something, of course, I want them to do it because they love me. But most of the time, it wasn't because they loved me. When I tell them to do certain things, when they did it, most of the time it wasn't because, oh, I love you so much, Daddy, I'm going to go ahead and obey you. Usually it was because Daddy's going to spank me if I don't do that. So many times it was fear. So what you have then is this balance. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And where does that begin? In the home. In the home. I remember my dad saying, okay, David, Daniel, I want you to do this. When I get home from work, this better be done. And we knew what he meant. It's not done, you get discipline. You get the paddle. And so we were like, huh, Dad, I'm almost home. Let's get this. And some of them were weeds and stuff, you know, and we didn't know how to use those tools, you know, trying to get them done. Then he'd get home and see what we did. And it was like, he saw that we tried. But it was a fear. And, you know, I look back and I thank God. Thank God that my dad spanked me. Now, there are a couple of times it wasn't my fault, but, you know, we'll just stop there. I thank God that he spanked me. I thank God that he put the fear of God in my life. And I have a father that when he came home, I was like, hey, you know, I had the fear of the Lord. Maybe a little more than we should have. When we walked in the back door and Dad came home and we see our sibling, I see my brother David, and Dad was home. Right away, I tell my sibling, Dad's home. Watch your step. Dad was no nonsense. Dad came home from work. He was tired. He was not going to put up with foolish kids. No nonsense. And if we cause any problems, our britches were on fire. Now, Mama was a little softy. I remember getting on the couch, on the arm, and doing backflips. If my dad saw me do that, I'd be big trouble, be pine coffin. My dad bought himself a new Lazy Boy. I don't know if it was Lazy Boy. I don't know if they had that brand. But it was one of those things, those recliners, yeah. Brand new. Dad wasn't home. But here I am, a little kid. I got one foot on the where the head is, and one foot where the feet rest, and I'm doing this. If my dad caught me doing that, it would have been all over. So, yeah, we were rascals. We were. Proverbs 29. I'm sure you have your stories. I remember a dear friend telling me he was practicing his bow and arrow, and he accidentally shot his daddy's chicken. And he tried to hide it. Didn't get away with that one. That was Tom Walker. Oh, that guy. When that guy told me stories, I was almost falling on the ground. Some people could tell stories so hilariously. I'll tell you. Proverbs 29, look at verse 15. What does it say? The rod. I've had people so many ways try to justify. Oh, the rod is the commandments. It's not. It doesn't mean the paddle. No, that means the paddle, friend. That's the paddle. The rod. It burns the britches, doesn't it? The rod and what else? And reproof. Give wisdom. But a child that gets his own way brings shame to his mother. Kids don't get their own way. If I gave my kids a choice, what do you want to eat every day? It'll be Twinkies, right? And Hostess cupcakes or something. You don't give kids their own way because they don't know better. You have to, I mean, you can listen to them. And you say, well, no, maybe that's for dessert or something. And I don't know that for dessert. But again, a child who gets his own way brings shame. You don't let them have their own way. It's dad's way, mom's way. And so it's important that we understand this. Look at verse 17. correct your son, and he'll give you comfort. He will also delight your soul. You know why? Because you corrected him at a young age. It's important, isn't it? So, fathers, go back with me now to Colossians. We need to deal with our children. Now, if your children are already teenage and everything, all you can do now, pray for them, share the gospel with them, be an example to them, but they are on their way. So let me ask you this. If you have children at home, are you teaching your children God's word? A lot of people just, they feel, well, I've been taking my kids to church. That's good. But it needs to be taught at home and lived out at home. Right? Are you praying with your children? Are you teaching them God's word? Are you being an example to your children? Are you training them to obey and honor the Lord? And you know what? There's that old saying, right? Things are caught rather than taught. Right? Kids will look at their parents and see what is important to them. If watching TV is important to them, that's what they're going to do. Right? Kids are going to, they're going to catch these things. So many times learning is caught. And so you and I have to be the example. We are to deal with our kids. Love them. Discipline them. We want to be an example to them. Go back with me to Colossians. And so we see here then that in Colossians chapter 3, that the fathers, you're not to, you know, be an irritation to them. Rather, give them instruction, train them, love them. And kids will see that. They'll see if you're sacrificing for them. So Colossians chapter 3, look at verse 22. Now we get into the slaves and the masters. You might say, well, what does that have to do with us? Back then, as I told you, it wasn't that Paul was condoning anything, but he's giving instruction to them who are in this situation. But what you and I can learn, as we see that he's talking to slaves and masters, are the principles here. And what's the principle here? Submission. Submission. When a person has authority, children, you have authority over you. Wives, you have authority over you. We have authority, governing authorities. The Lord ultimately is our authority. And so what we can learn here is how we submit to authority. This is the right heart. And so we see here in verse 22 all the way to 25. And you know, the thing is that Paul, if you remember the book of Philemon, it is believed that Philemon and Onesimus were a part of the church near Colossae. And so we learn here that Paul is probably thinking about them. Both of them were claiming to be Christians. Onesimus, a brand new Christian. Philemon was one that Paul brought to the Lord. What does it say here? Verse 22. Slaves, in all things, obey those who are your masters on the earth, not with external service as those who merely please men, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. Isn't that amazing? That's just an amazing statement. Here is a situation of slave masters many times, and the majority of times it was an abusive relationship. Well, guess what? Slaves, obey your masters as to the Lord. You know what's going to happen? God's going to bless you. Not only that, you're going to be such a powerful testimony to your master. They're going to wonder, what happened to this guy? He has a different heart. When I tell this guy to do it, he does it. He doesn't give me any grief. He doesn't complain. He does his job, and he does it sincerely. He does it with joy. What's going on here? That person has the Holy Spirit of God living in them. You see, it's a testimony, isn't it? So slaves, in all things, obey those who are your masters on earth, not with external service as those who merely please men, which is the world, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. Look at verse 23. Whatever you do, Do you work heartily as for the Lord rather than for men? That is completely different. Even some people use this even for the workplace, right? You see people, you work with these type of people where they're just goofing off and just letting the clock run out on them. You seen that? People do that. They're working and they're just goofing off and they're just looking at the clock instead of getting the work done. That's not a good testimony. You should be the hardest worker at your job. If you're an employee, you should be the hardest worker. It says here, we do it for the Lord. Look at verse 24. Knowing that from the Lord you receive the reward of the inheritance, it is the Lord Christ whom you serve. For he who does wrong will receive the consequences of the wrong which he has done, and that without partiality. Some of the slaves, just like employees, they would steal from their masters. They are not trustworthy slaves. And Paul's saying, no, you do whatever you do, remember you're serving Christ. We see this over and over again through the scripture. First of all, let's look at Joseph. Look at Genesis 39. Go all the way to Genesis. Joseph was sold into slavery, wasn't he, poor guy? He was only 17 years old by his brothers who were jealous of him. Boy, the story of Joseph is such a great story, isn't it? Especially the part where he forgives his brothers. I like the part where the Lord exalts him to be second in command of all of Egypt. That's amazing. Genesis 39, verses 1 through 6. Joseph was slave to the Ishmaelites. His brothers wanted to kill him because they didn't want his dreams to come true, that he was going to rule over them. Genesis 39, verse 1 says, now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an Egyptian officer of Pharaoh, the captain of the bodyguard, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him down there. Now listen to this, verse 2. The Lord was with Joseph. So he became a successful man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. Now his master saw that the Lord was with him and how the Lord caused all that he did to prosper in his hand. So Joseph found favor in his sight and became his personal servant, and he made him overseer over his house, and all that he owned he put in his charge. It came about that from the time he made him overseer in his house and over all that he owned, the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house on account of Joseph. Thus the Lord's blessing was upon all that he owned in the house and in the field. Verse 6. So he left everything he owned in Joseph's charge, and with him there he did not concern himself with anything except the food which he ate. Isn't that amazing? That's how much trust he put in Joseph. It shows you what a testimony that Joseph was. Even though he was Potiphar's slave, by his serving the Lord and his fear of God, God began to bless Joseph. And I guarantee you that Joseph put some hard work in there. And he did it sincerely. He did it from his heart. And he did it as unto the Lord. And what happened? Potiphar saw that God blessed him so much, Potiphar trusted him. Joseph stood out as a man blessed by God. And you see, he was such a testimony of being a man of God. And he was a slave. You never thought he was a slave if you met him, probably, there. Until, of course, Potiphar's wife kind of threw a monkey wrench in all of that, didn't she? But I want you to understand that wherever, even when Joseph was in prison, even there, he stood out. And even there, even the jailer put Joseph in charge. Isn't that amazing? Joseph was the best slave, wasn't he? He was the best. 1 Corinthians 7, go with me there, all the way in the New Testament. There were slaves, weren't there? Many slaves. What does Paul say about that? 1 Corinthians chapter 7, Look at verse 20. Paul is talking about marriage and remarriage. And Paul says, you know, whatever circumstance you find yourself in, try to remain there if you could. Talking to those who had been circumcised and uncircumcised. Look at verse 20. Each man must remain in that condition which he was called. Verse 21. Were you called while a slave? What does Paul say? Run away? No. Were you called while a slave? Do not worry about it. But if you're able also to become free, rather than do that. There were actually slaves who were able to save their money somehow. And we're able to buy their freedom, or others would be able to buy their freedom. And Paul says, if you can do that, great, do that. But if you can't, and that's how you were called, what does Paul say? Verse 22, for he who was called in the Lord while a slave is the Lord's free man, right? Freed man. Likewise, he who was called while free is the Lord's slave. So understand this, ultimately your master is the Lord. And so you serve your master. As unto the Lord, verse 23, you were bought with a price. Do not become slaves of men. If you can help it, don't do that. Some literally put themselves in slavery because that was steady food and income for them, or maybe a place to live. Some did it for survival. Paul says, if you can help it, don't do that. Verse 24, brethren, let each one is to remain with God in that condition in which he was called. Don't worry about it, Paul says. Serve the Lord. Serve your masters. Do it sincerely. Be a testimony. Be a light where there is darkness. Even in slavery, even in the worst conditions, be light. 1 Peter chapter 2 talks about even if there's abuse. Go with me there, the 1 Peter. We saw this also when we were talking, remember, to submitting to husbands. The context was suffering, remember that? 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 13. Now, what's the main point of all this? We are to submit to authority, beloved. We're to submit to authority. You may not agree with the authority. You may not feel it's fair, but we are still to submit to it because every authority has been given by God. Unless they call you to disobey the word of God. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 13, submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to what? Every human institution, whether to a king as the one in authority or to governors, as sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and the praise of those who do right. For such is the will of God, that by doing right you may silence the ignorance of foolish men. Christians should not have the reputation of rebellious people and whiners. That's not the reputation that's going to be a blessing or pleases God. Grumbling, whining, rebelling, that's not what a Christian is about. We're to be submissive, and we're to zip it, right? Zip it. You have a problem? Take it to the Lord. Take it to the Lord. Don't spread it around, right? Take it to the Lord and talk to the Lord. You know why? Because this is pleasing to God. Look at verse 15. For such is the will of God, that by doing right, you may silence the ignorance of foolish men. How do we combat authority we disagree with? Do what's right. How do we combat corrupt authority? Do right. Submit and do right. And leave things to the Lord. Look at verse 16. Act as free men. Do not use your freedom as a covering for evil, but use it as bond slaves of God. Honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Verse 18, back to slaves. Servants, be submissive to your masters. See the word, it's a word that means to line yourself under somebody. Remember in grammar school, your teachers would say, okay, line up. That's what it meant. It's like a military term. We put ourselves under someone's authority. Servants, be submissive to your masters with all respect, not only to those who are good and gentle, but also to who? To those who are unreasonable. I'm not going to obey that guy. He's unreasonable. I'm not going to do what he tells me to do. Guess what? The Lord says, do it. Do what's right. Submit to authority. Let the Lord deal with him. Verse 19, for this finds favor. If for the sake of conscience toward God, a person bears up under sorrows when suffering unjustly, for what credit is there if when you sin and are harshly treated, you deserve it. If you're rebelling and complaining and you get into trouble, you deserve that. But if you're doing what's right and you have the right heart and right attitude and you're punished unjustly, you know what? God's going to bless you. What credit is there is when you sin and are harshly treated, you endure it with patience. But if when you do what is right and suffer for it, you patiently endure it, this finds favor with God. You understand that? God sees all of this. And if you're suffering unjustly, you're doing what's right, you're saying what's right, your attitude is right, and you're still suffering, this finds favor with God. You're still being a good testimony. Now look at verse 21. For you have been called for this purpose. It's like, really? We've been called? Yeah. Guess what? This is Christ's likeness. Since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in his steps. So guess what? If you have authority and they're abusive, and you're doing what's right and they're still abusive, and you're saying what's right, and it's like they just seem unjust, guess what? Welcome to the club. Welcome to the club. That's what Jesus went through. So Jesus suffered. Got to be willing to suffer. Joseph suffered, didn't he? What did Joseph do to earn to go into prison? When he was with Potiphar, nothing, spoke the truth, avoided adultery. And he still went to prison. So let me ask you a very personal question. How do you respond to authority? Do you have a problem with authority? Then you're standing with wicked men. Because the Bible, when it talks about godless, wicked men, they hate authority. They hate authority. Beloved, that's not the heart that God is asking us to have. How do you respond to authority? We need to be a good testimony to those who are over us. Yes, even the unjust. Be a good testimony. Don't reject authority. Just be light, be salt. Finally, go back with me to Colossians. So you see, the principles are there, aren't they? When it comes to authority. We all want to grumble. We all want to gripe. We all want to rebel. Maybe get a class action suit. Chapter 4, verse 1. Masters. And of course, Philemon was a master, wasn't he? Grant to your slaves justice and fairness, knowing that you too have a master in heaven. Masters, many of them abusers. And of course, he's talking again about the new life. Masters, guess what? You and your slave have something in common. You both have one Lord. And the Lord doesn't see master and slave. He just sees two children of God. So masters, and you know, it's how we treat people, isn't it? How do you treat people? The way we treat other people is a telltale sign of our relationship with the Lord. We have to understand that every single person is made in the image of God. Every single person. Even those less fortunate. So Paul warns the masters that since people are made in the image of God, we need to have respect and honor the Lord by the way we treat other people. You got to be kind. You got to be compassionate, as it says in the book of Colossians. A person who treats others abusively and wickedly, that person doesn't fear the Lord. We can't be abusive with people. When you see an abusive parent or someone being abusive as a boss and acting wickedly, they're going to give an account to the Lord. That person does not fear the Lord. And there's that old saying, the Bible talks about he who rolls a stone on others, that stone's going to roll back on them. It's an old saying, what goes around comes around. It's in the scripture, not the exact wording like that, but it talks about it's going to come, that giant boulder is going to come and roll over you. And so we see then that when it comes to being in any type of authority or leadership, you and I have to be very careful. Go with me to James 3. There's a couple of passages I want to look at, but we are running out of time here. James 3, look at verse 6. Remember the tongue? James 3, verse 6. We don't have time to read all about it, but James chapter 3, verse 6, James is warning the churches that have been scattered, and he's warning them about their tongue. He says here in verse 6, he says, the tongue is a fire that the very world of iniquity, the tongue is set among our members so that that which defiles the entire body and sets on fire the course of our life, and it is set on fire by hell. So, gotta watch the tongue, folks. And so he says here, because we're talking about abusive, right? And many of it begins with abusive speech. For every species of beasts and birds and of reptiles and creatures of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by the human race, but no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil and full of deadly poison. Now listen to this, because he's talking to the churches. When it comes to the tongue, he says, with it we bless our Lord. See that? With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come both blessing and what else? And cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be this way. Does a fountain send out from the same opening both fresh and bitter water? Can a fig tree, my brethren, produce olives? Or a vine produce figs? Nor can salt water produce fresh. And so you and I have to understand that when it comes to dealing with other people, understand they're made in the image of God. I know some of us get into road rage, don't we? And we get these people that will cut us off and do things. And I told you what happened when I took my son was about this short, this little, and I saw this guy, he double parked. Right? And my son taught me a lesson that day. He'll double park and I said, oh, that bonehead. And walked into the supermarket. Then we came out and the car was gone and my son says, hey, that bonehead moved. I went, what am I teaching my son? So when that came out of his mouth, I went, oh, yeah, that was a good. We all have to work on that, don't we? We all have to work on that. Do you remember the last thing that Jesus did before he went to the Garden of Gethsemane? The last lesson, in a sense. Remember what he did to his disciples? He washed their feet. He washed their feet. Nobody was willing to wash each other's feet. They went to the upper room. They saw the basin of water. They saw the towel, but there was no servant to wash their feet. There was no slave to wash their feet. So they all went to their couches. You know, they'll lay sideways with their feet out, and there's no one else to do it. And they're like, well, I'm not going to do it. So they all went. It was at the Last Supper, if you remember. After the supper was done, Jesus went to the basin and the towel, put the towel around his waist, and he began to wash the disciples' feet. What was the last lesson? To be a servant. To be a servant. Jesus, Almighty God in the flesh, the King of Kings, began to wash the feet of his disciples. Yes, we see that he just, even if you remember, even I think by that time Judas was probably gone, but he washed their feet. He wanted them to learn that when it comes to being a leader, it's a servant leadership, isn't it? It's a servant leadership. You want to know how to deal with authority? Be a servant. Be a servant. Fathers, be servants. Be servants. I mean, yes, we are to instruct our children. We're to discipline our children, but be a servant as well. That's what loving leadership does. And that's what Jesus taught us. We're to be servants. Because in God's eyes, he doesn't see master and slave. He just sees his children again. So let me ask you, how do you deal with people? How do you treat people? Do you treat them badly? Be careful. James talks about when the rich man comes in and the poor man. And he tells the rich man, here, sit in this nice place. And the poor man, yeah, you sit here by my feet. James says, you just showed partiality. Got to be very careful. Let me close with this. Remember that all authority comes from God. All authority. When we respect authority, we are respecting the Lord. You might say, what about abusive authority? Yeah, you know, that's going to happen because we got sinful men all around us. But have you thought about this, that one day you will stand before a holy God? Have you thought about that? That one day you will stand before a holy God and give an account for your life? Have you thought about that? That's going to happen. Someday we will stand before God. The book of Revelation talks about the second resurrection, which is not a good one. And it talks about, it says that where men and women will give an account for their deeds. They'll stand before the great white throne of judgment. Can you imagine? I don't even know if there's a dialogue. There's no dialogue in there, only a monologue coming from the Lord. Can you imagine? I mean, what are people gonna say before God? What excuses will people give God? God doesn't take excuses for sin. There are no excuses for sin. God will not take excuses. If we have not obeyed God's commandments perfectly, then that means we stand guilty before a holy God. What is God's standard? Perfection. Isn't that, we just learned that on Friday night? You shall be holy just as your heavenly Father, you shall be perfect just as your heavenly Father is perfect. Like, perfect, who's perfect? Nobody. Only Christ. And that's what we need. We need the perfect holiness of Christ. This is why we need a Savior, beloved. This is why we need a Savior to save us from the wrath of God. We need someone to deliver us from the lake of fire. That's why God sent his perfect Son, who lived a perfect, holy life. And when he died a perfect, holy sacrifice as the Lamb of God to save sinners. That's why Christ died. On the third day, Christ rose again in power. Once again, declaring himself as a son of the living God. Now he's at the right hand of the Father. Sits there as our high priest. Let me ask you a personal question. Have you called upon the name of the Lord? Have you asked Christ to save you and to deliver you from the wrath to come? Have you done that? Have you cried out to Him? Have you prayed and said, Lord, save me, forgive me, deliver me? Have you put your trust in Christ as Savior and Lord? That's what we need to do. We need to be willing to repent and in trusting Christ alone and His sacrifice. When Christ died on the cross, remember what He said? He said, it is finished. Christ paid it all, didn't He? All we can do is as little children, put our faith and our trust in Jesus. Just like the thief on the cross, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. What did that thief on the cross do for his salvation? Nothing. He just turned to Christ by faith and asked Him to remember him. And you know what the Lord said? Remember what He said to him? Today, you will be with me in paradise. Wow. It's a gift of God, isn't it? Not of works. It is a gift of God, lest any man should boast. Well, we're going to pray, and I'm going to have Steve come forward with the announcements. Father, we're so blessed to study your word together. And Lord, help us to understand that we need to be submissive. That really is a fruit. One of the fruits of the Holy Spirit of God and be filled with the Spirit is to have a heart of submission. Lord, we don't always agree with those who are above us. But help us, Father, that we will stand out as true servants of the living God. We belong to you, Lord. We know that when we submit to authority, we're submitting to Christ, who is our ultimate authority. Now, Lord, we ask your blessing, and we thank you for the short time we've had together. In Jesus' name, amen.